Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, you are tuned to Moon, Moo, and You, the Collective Wisdom. Welcome to our show. The call-in number is 347-205-9200. My name is Kate Loving Shank, otherwise known as Moo. Our guest this evening is MJ Schrader, otherwise known as Love Rockstar. MJ did a very brave thing recently. In an attempt to overcome her fear of doing public speaking and conducting interviews, she got on internet TV and did 12 hours of interviews asking various people what they do to overcome their own fear and trepidations. What is the process? What are the miracles? Where is the joy and the love? Before we bring MJ to the show, here is June Adams, a.k.a. Moonvine. Hi, Joan.
Hi, Kate.
How are you?
I'm great. Excited
Wonderful.
About this one. This is going to be a good show.
I love the whole concept of getting rid of fear.
And instead
just bringing in the love vibration, you know? It's a really very intense topic.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Well, let me just, I'm pretty sure she's here, so.
Great.
Hello, MJ.
Hello.
How are you this evening?
I am doing very well. Thank you.
Are you fearless?
That never ends. I mean, we all have fears, so.
Right, and you probably have done a tremendous job at least cutting away at the old fear game, huh?
Oh yeah. I mean, that's the thing. You just got to push on through it.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Tell us how this all evolved for you.
Well, I have always been kind of a quiet person. And I guess it's been a little over a month ago, I guess 2 months ago. My Quinny was talking to me about doing an interview with him, and I was like, I don't know about that. And I was kind of hesitant because of my own fears.
Mm-hmm.
But then my mastermind group said, you ought to do an interview. And then I got it from a couple of other people. You ought to interview so-and-so, or you ought to let so-and-so interview you. And I was afraid, honestly.
Mm-hmm, because you're shy?
You know, a lot of people think that I'm shy, but it's actually, I'm just very quiet-natured.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the fact is it would seem like it would be, from my perspective, just easy to do it with 2020 since you guys are so close. But obvious, maybe you just felt like you were too close and you just didn't want to do it.
Well, I just didn't know what I would say.
Yeah.
What questions do you ask? How do you keep the flow going? All of that kind of thing.
Well, after 12 hours, I'm sure you feel a little differently now.
Yeah, I do. I definitely do.
At which point did it break?
Yeah, good question.
Do what?
At which point did it become natural for you and not scary? Like after three hours, after the first two interviews, or where in the day did you start to relax?
I think it was around the third interview with Paul, because Ustream kicked me out. And everybody in the chat room, which I then turned on my laptop, so I wound up with two computers running at all times. But they were like, you know, this is just part of life.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay
yep.
that Ustream cut down.
It just happens.
Right.
Yeah, we've had all of those.
Tonight,
I don't even see the chat room. Do you, Kate?
I see it, but it's kind of blank.
Okay. I'm not seeing it at all. But, yeah, you know, I would think, because I know the first, every single show we've done, we've moved a little bit closer to not having a disaster every time. We've learned how to laugh a lot.
It is hysterical, after all.
Yeah, it is. You know, you think about people that do this all the time on television or, you know, on public radio, and you think, good grief, you know. Of course, they have staffs that handle this stuff, right?
Yes,
right.
They do. They do. So do you have plans to do a regular show of some sort, or, you know, regular Ustream? Is it Ustream, right? Ustream.
It was Ustream that I did it on. I actually have some more interviews planned. I can't say the speakers just yet because we haven't set all the details together.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have some planned. I just don't have a regular. I don't want to do a weekly show.
Right.
I have decided to do an annual marathon every year.
Yeah. Those marathons, I guess it's kind of like running one after all.
I can't
12 hours, wow.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
I will definitely have help this time and have somebody watching the chat room to make certain the flow goes.
Uh-huh.
Just watching the chat room and talking was a little bit difficult.
Yes. Yes, and it is.
I can understand.
Yes. It is, but I do like having a chat room, and I'm sorry that I can't see one tonight. So, but now, what is your, like, your subject matter for that, for the marathon was what?
It was vanquishing your demons.
Ah,
which was
okay.
Basically conquering your fears.
Wonderful. And you had 20?
I had 20, and Wendy G. Young. Let's see, Mark Horn, of course, Kate, and trying to think of people that everybody knows. I had a couple of other people. There's Maggie Miller, and then Trapper Sherwood.
Oh, Nate, yeah, we love Trapper too.
Yeah, Trapper's cool.
Yeah, that's great. That is great. And did you podcast it? Is it available on download on YouTube?
It is not, because I turned it in. I'm trying to turn it into a product because I need to start creating a product. And vanquishing your demons is part of, or you know, conquering your fears is part of becoming a rock star, which is basically why I changed to Love Rockstar, just to help people get past, well, become a better person. Not better person. More authentic to themselves.
To be real.
Yeah.
Okay. I understand that concept. That one I understand. And you are vanquishing fears by increasing your love vibrations? Is that the way I'm understanding what you do?
That's part of it. That's a lot of it. But the major thing that has happened in my life is about 15 years ago, actually it was 97, is when I didn't really like myself. I was in a bad marriage. And then in 97, I had a miscarriage and the marriage ended. And I went from disliking myself to completely hating myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a long road to get back liking, and now I can actually say that I love you to my reflection.
Mm-hmm. That's neat. I have a friend that struggled with that same, not being able to stand in front of a mirror and say that. And she struggled with that for a long, long time. That one has never given. I've had plenty of bumps in the road, but that one I can do. A lot of times I'll be in a workshop and they'll say, "Well, you need to do this." And I'll say, "Well, can't do that one." You know, they're always the ones that are difficult for some people. But you got past it,
right?
And then moved into the internet world.
I moved into the internet world years ago. I just had not really been able to reach any sort of success or anything like that.
What is your, you have a website or a blog or?
LoveRockstar.com.
Okay. BlogRockstar.com.
LoveRockstar.com.
LoveRockstar.com, right. Is that a website / blog?
I have both. Mm-hmm. Love Rockstar is where I talk more business, and the blog is where I talk about things like my cat having had surgery finally.
And so, from here, you want to create your product.
Right.
Market the product.
Right.
And get ready for another 12-hour marathon this time next year. Huh?
That's right. But I hope to come out with some other products between now and then, and I have no idea. Well, it's a year away, and I figured that the theme for next year will come when the time is right.
Oh, yes, and it will. It absolutely will. I believe that with all my heart, that it comes when it's supposed to, and you have all of that. Have you ever attended any of 20's workshops or camp out or what?
I want to. I would like to, but financially it has not been possible yet.
Yeah, I keep thinking that would be cool. I haven't done that either, and he fascinates me. His training fascinates me. So
I was thinking that would be wonderful. He actually lives near me, or I should say in the same state, Pennsylvania.
That's
so
right.
So that would be something I've been thinking about also.
You know, you should go meet them, Kate.
I know.
Really?
I know. I will. Well, my daughter-in-law is coming to live in my hometown, and she has American Indian blood, and it could very well be that she would benefit from meeting 2020 to sort of reignite her ancestry.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking along those lines. I think that would be good for her.
Yes, it would. I wonder how far away they are from you. That would be a super.
Well, I believe they're near Pittsburgh, which would be quite a drive, maybe at least 4 hours anyway.
Okay, but not impossible.
No, no.
I mean, you're doing South Carolina next year, so 4 hours is...
You're right. I'm going to Joan's family reunion in South Carolina, and it's called the Tate Family Reunion, and it's a big deal.
Yes,
and
there's going
to be a lot of wonderful experiences meeting your family and hanging out at the beach. And we have a lot of time, really. Well, I wish it were a month, but it might be as long as a week.
Yeah. It's going to be great. But y'all could meet 2 hours in. Each one of you go 2 hours and meet somewhere.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah. I mean, that's easily possible. Wouldn't that be something? You meet Twinny and Carol and then come to South Carolina all within a month, within a year.
Within a year, right.
That would be wonderful. I have such big dreams. I have on my image goals, I have pictures of all these people I want to meet one day. So I guess
we'll add MJ on that list now.
We'll put MJ on that list for sure. MJ, where are you?
I am outside of Dallas, Texas.
Wow.
And I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was thinking Pat O'Brien. How far is Pat? How far is Austin from Dallas? Far.
Actually, it's about 4.5 hours to Wimberley, where he is, and then it's 5 hours to San Antonio, where he does the UN-Seminar.
Oh, I didn't know he was doing that in San Antonio now. Okay. He used to do it in Austin, didn't he?
At least once or twice. Yeah. I don't know.
But, yeah.
Well, we have a caller on the line. Let us see who this is. I have a feeling I know who it is, but
I have a feeling I do, too.
Hello there.
Hi, do you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good.
This is my sister, Sid.
Hi, yeah, Dad. I'm at the pool with my family listening to your show.
Wonderful.
Cool. We're happy to know that you're there. That's so cool.
I'm here, yes. And the sun just came out, so it's almost time to get in the water.
Of course.
But I've been listening to what you're talking about, and I teach public speaking at a community college. So public speaking is the first one, top of the list of people's fears.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they're more afraid of public speaking than dying.
Yeah.
And so every term I have to deal with students' fears of public speaking. So I understand, you know, the topic pretty well.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
What do you tell them? I took a public speaking course. I took a job one time not knowing I was going to have to do public speaking. And the job was with the March of Dimes, so everything I was doing was public speaking. But that little bit of information went over my head. And I did. I took a public speaking course here at the community college immediately to get past that. I just, you know, I was terrified.
You didn't pass the class?
Yeah. Did fine
you
the
did
class.
Pass it.
Yes,
oh,
I
good.
Did pass it. Thank goodness I took it. I could not have done the job without it.
Yes,
right.
It got me past. It was the same thing as MJ's marathon. It got me past into the next stage of whatever, so
and
that I wasn't.
Right,
yeah.
So this is the last week of the class, and yesterday, for 6 hours, I listened to student speeches.
Wow.
And tomorrow, for another 6 hours, I will listen to student speeches.
I think that's kind of cool.
I like it, yeah, because they always have something new to talk about, every one of them. So they bring in topics that I, you know, wouldn't have thought to listen or know about. And so they have lots of good ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all totally afraid.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I had to go straight with humor when I did that. I buried my youth. I dressed in black and buried my youth. I was something like 35 at the time. I was older than most of the people in the room. So I had a funeral. I just, you know, I had to make it funny or I'd have never gotten through it.
Right. That's a good idea. One woman came yesterday with her whole family, and they all dressed up in fashions from the 70s and explained fashions from the 70s, and every one of them had on a different part of the 70s, and they were African-Americans. And
that's a great idea.
I know. Her one son came in dressed up as a reggae star, you know, with his dreadlocks, and another one had on an Afro wig that was huge, and the other one had on, he just looked like a hipster, and she came in as a disco star. It was very cool.
Oh, that's cute.
It was neat.
You have to
and the father came, too. The father came, too, and took pictures, and I videotaped them.
Nice.
It was fun. Yeah.
That is neat.
Yeah, it was
not
fun.
Only that, but it gives you a good story to tell next year for the. It's an idea story. It's like you can do anything you want to with this. You know,
and
get a little bit off the wall sometimes to get from point A to point B. If it works,
That's right. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, because I'm like MJ's thing of taking just saying I'm going to do this for 12 hours. That would terrify me. So MJ, I think I would have panicked. look at 12 hours on the air. But,
and it was television, too, so you really had to dress up.
Oh, was it really?
Yes, it's television. So,
yeah,
wow.
I've got the rock star image, so I have to dress up, you know, rock star like.
So that helps. Costumes
That's
help.
Funny.
Costumes really help. You know, they say that clowns are the quietest folks you ever met, but they do. The costume makes them come out of that. In fact, there used to be a clowning group here in town, and they did that as a way of overcoming those fears.
That's a good idea. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I always thought, hey, I might like to do that, you know.
I thought of that, too.
Because you're hidden, you know. You're hidden,
well,
you just be goofy and silly. And
you can, and you can become a clown at children's birthday parties and parades and do it in all kinds of interesting ways to become a clown and do things.
That's right. Just pure foolishness.
It's a good entrepreneurial idea.
Yeah.
You can do magician tricks and you know, make people laugh and make them cry.
Uh-huh.
And learn how to do balloons. I'd love to know how to do balloon animals.
Yeah, I met a man who, he had a master's degree in communication, and he lost his job in New York City, and he took to the streets as a magician, and he started doing magic tricks on the street corners, and pretty soon they were hiring him to go to birthday parties, and pretty soon he was doing celebrities' kids' birthday parties and making real money.
That is a great story.
That's fun.
I liked it, too. Yeah, so.
Great resilience.
Yes.
So are you there with the grandchildren?
Yes, and I'm going to get off the phone so I can go swimming with them. This is their last day here.
Oh,
okay.
Fun.
Thank you.
Enjoy.
Okay.
And thank you so much for popping
we'll
in.
We'll have fun overcoming your fear of public speaking or other fears as well.
Yes.
That's a good place to start, though. If you can get confident with public speaking, you can probably go anywhere.
Yeah, I agree.
So. Okay, well, have a good time for the rest of your hour. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Love you, too. Bye.
Love you.
What would we do without our sisters?
I know. It's so true.
And Toastmasters is another one. I did go to a Toastmasters meeting one time, but I was really intimidated by that. But I know that... I can't think. But those folks are real big into Toastmasters. And Toastmasters is a great program, I think. If you get in a good group and you really learn how to think on your feet. And Kate, you're a natural at that.
Well, thank you. I don't think I am, but it's nice that other people think I am.
Well, you've done so much of it politically and so on. You know, it's like, wow, I mean, what you do would mortify me.
Yes, well, it's, you know, it's all funny because you do something and you still think, oh, my gosh, there's so much more to unlock and liberate.
Sure, and I think that's true, period. You know, I think that's an ongoing thing, but to be able to stand in front of the House of Representatives or whatever and state your case, I mean, that would scare me, I'm afraid. I can do little things. Haven't done, and I guess the largest crowd I ever spoke in front of was like 500 at a March of Dimes meeting. And I was shaking, but I got through it.
Well, after tonight, after this show, I'm going to a city council meeting, and we will be discussing our you know, healthcare reform and a particular bill we have here in the state, which everybody there is expected to endorse, and then we will have a press conference, not tonight, but at some point in the near future, to unveil the numbers that Pennsylvania will save by going a single payer route for healthcare. So, that's very exciting. And once again, it is, the climate for healthcare right now is a little bit contentious with people fighting and screaming and so forth at all these town halls. But that's because the health insurance companies are staging those things. So I don't think it's much to worry about. Just have to go ahead and do the right thing, and public speaking is part of it. I mean, I have I really enjoyed speaking to the Republican caucus, and it was so interesting to look at their faces as I was speaking, and they were at the edge of their seat, and after it was over, I had these wonderful conversations, and there's more Republicans in the state of Pennsylvania who are for single payer than anywhere else in the country. So that says a lot.
I'm going to turn on CNN one night, and you're going to be on there. I just know that's going to happen.
The more you do something, the easier it gets, and it bleeds into all parts of your life. Have you noticed that, MJ? Where,
oh, yeah.
After doing that 12-hour thing, you probably noticed that you were more articulate and less, more your authentic self, just more yourself.
Right,
which is why you did it. That's so cool.
Right.
And I guess being on television would scare me to death.
Yeah, I think that would be it for me. I never would do that. In fact, when I was doing March of Dimes, I did not like doing local radio. But to me, this is easier because it's on the telephone.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit different feel than talking into a mic. More comfortable somehow. But I always, those interviews with the microphone in my face always unnerved me. I never got used to that.
Yes, I guess that's what happens when you go into a radio studio.
Yeah. Well, and out even on the street, I mean, I was doing Walk America for March of Dimes. And, the local news would want updates, and they were covering the story. The community was out, so.
Well, we were, remember we recently had Sharon Eaton on the show on Moon, Moo, and You, and she was discussing courageous women, and that was a fascinating topic, which I think weaves very well with what we're talking about, how women are more courageous in this day and age than they ever were before. And my sister, who just called in, has these three beautiful daughters who are in their 20s and 30s and early 30s, and they have this tremendous, courageous way about them. They say exactly what they think and what they feel, and they're really beautiful people, too. I mean, and even though they're beautiful by societal standards, they don't flaunt it, and it has never bothered them. You know what I mean? And I work with a lot of young women who are very, very outspoken and who say exactly what they think. So I think it's different than when we were growing up, Joan. And
yeah, absolutely is. It's a whole different environment than the one that I grew up in, for sure. And I'm older than you, and we keep talking about this same thing, but it's true that as the years have gone on, then I think women not necessarily have gotten more courageous, but are more able to be outspoken.
Yeah.
I mean, I think women historically have been courageous.
That's true.
I think women are more heard in this day and age than they were in the years past.
The women today are not subservient to men,
right?
As they used to be,
right? Right.
I mean, there's still a touch of that here and there,
but not as much. Not
no.
as much. I mean, I know. I mean, all of this happened within our marriage, and I can easily tell you the days that we were married before the days of remote control, and my husband would call me to come change the channels for him. or call me to bring him ice cream,
mm-hmm.
That's what, and women did it, I did it. And then all of a sudden at about 35, the world flipped upside down and women didn't do that anymore. And, he said, what do you mean you're not going to do it? I mean, you're going to get up and fix it yourself. I'm not going to do that anymore. the maid, around here we say the maid died. Well, for real.
they died and went to heaven.
Right. Don't play those games anymore. But that's just the way it was. It wasn't that they were being disrespectful or realized any ill will in it. That was just what men did, you know.
And did Whitey adjust, your husband Whitey? How did he adjust
to that? We managed. We got there finally. You know, it took a while, but we finally got there. It took a lot of days of clothes piled up in the floor, and I did all kind of crazy things, but, you know, we finally got the point across. Well, I didn't want my daughter to see, you know, I wanted her to have her own voice, and she does,
yeah.
Thankfully, and, you know, we do most things like that with humor anyway, but, you know.
Well, and then the men that people like your daughter marries are totally courageous, too. To take
yes.
on these courageous women, and they believe in that women should have their own autonomy, and
oh,
so the men are coming along too.
Well, I'm just fascinated watching them now. Her husband is a child of a divorced marriage, so his mom had a house full of little boys to raise.
Ooh.
But the two of them, the couple, Kathy and her husband, clean house together. They work in the yard together. It is never, of course, they both work, but there's never a that's your job and that's your job. It's,
mm-hmm.
you know, I want to hurry and cut the grass before he gets home and surprise him, or they spend all weekend in the yard together, or, you know, they work hard and they play hard. But there's not any division of that's
labor.
Women work. Yeah, you just don't hear it, you know. He does whatever, which is really neat to watch. He doesn't cook.
Oh, I love it.
She does the cooking, but he doesn't do much of that. But it is fun to watch, and I think it's healthy. It's very
healthy.
And we love watching. Now, my husband was always a really good daddy and a real involved daddy, thankfully, where a lot of men of our generation were not. But to watch our son, you know, and he corrected me real quick after his baby was born, the first one. And I said something about, are you babysitting tonight? And he said, if this is my child, I am not babysitting. I am parenting. I said, ooh, excuse me. In my day, we said that very, you know, would you please babysit tonight so I could, you know, you don't say that to this next generation.
I love it.
Isn't it wonderful? I love it, too.
Yep, the kids are great.
Yeah, this is my child, and I am the parent. It suits me fine. It's a whole
yes.
new world. Yes.
So maybe we should all start thinking about climbing Everest. Now, there's something to be fearful about.
I don't think I want to climb Everest. I would like to perhaps drive in the city with less fear, or, you know, Sister Betty, who is probably listening to us, you know, she jumps in her car and goes to Florida and whatever, and to see her daughter. I'm just not that comfortable making long trips, or now I'll make a short trip. But driving in the city mortally
mm-hmm.
terrifies me. In fact, to me, that's worse than public speaking.
Yes. Yeah, I get disoriented easily, so I have the same fear.
Yeah, I think that's what mine is, the traffic and the activity.
Mm-hmm.
In the
mm-hmm.
city, and Rock Hill's a nice sized town. It's, you know, but it's nothing like we live near Charlotte, North Carolina. Well, Charlotte
yes.
is a city. Atlanta is a city, you know. And
yes.
I just the idea of getting out on one of those bypasses, highways, just and people flying by, and terrifies me. I'm a little country girl, and I just. Sometimes Rock Hill's too big for me. But
it occurs to me that it might be that certain fears are such that you don't really need to try to overcome them.
You know, you're not the first person that's told me that.
Yeah, you don't have to.
That's interesting. Yeah, you know, that you don't have to overcome them all. You do have to overcome any that are in your way. of becoming who you want to be.
Yeah.
Like MJ doing the 12-hour marathon, or, you know, I was talking about taking the speech course for the job. You know, it's like, I've got this job, I've got to do this thing. I never was a real effective speaker, but at least I could do it. I could get things said. I laughed one year, and it was about the third year I was in at worked for March of Dimes, and we did this huge Walk America in Gaffney, South Carolina, which is a nice sized little town. But I got real tickled at myself, because all of a sudden I'm standing in front of the group and hollering and, you know, announcing the kickoff to the whole thing and whatever, and not thinking anything about it. And I thought, Joan, you had finally, you know, you did that. It was just as natural to me as it could be at that moment, you know. Now, could I do it today? I don't know. I think it's also something you have to practice. I think you get out of that very quickly.
Well, I remember MJ being on your show for that hour, and I talked about resuscitating people who, especially babies who are born virtually dead.
Ooh.
That's very frightening.
Ooh.
And that would be something that in the past I wouldn't have wanted to do or even chosen to do. But what happened was I had to find a job, and this was the one that seemed to be the most logical in my career path as a nurse. I mean, just the fact that I'd worked in women's health for so many years. And so as a labor and delivery nurse, you just think that it's kind of cool to hang out with people who are laboring. But it turns out that these babies are, and not, it doesn't happen all the time, but a lot of them are born stunned. Well, it doesn't take very much to resuscitate them. And it's all in my mind today because I just did a certification on neonatal, it's called neonatal resuscitation. And I also was talking about it on your show, MJ, what happens is that sometimes they're born absolutely dead without a heartbeat or anything. And it's the whole team has to bring this baby back. And very, very rarely do they die. We have a great, you know, resuscitation. We know what we're doing. But what I'm saying is that at one time in my life, I never would have thought I could do that, ever.
Yeah, see, I think that would terrify me in a big way.
It is
the responsibility of such a thing.
Yes.
That would overwhelm me, I think.
Oh, we have another person on the line. Guess what? We have somebody else on the line. Just a minute here. Hello there. Wait. Hello there.
Hi. Can you hear me? Or?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was trying to mute.
How are you?
I'm good. I've been listening online. I have to get in my car now, so I just called in. So.
Right.
Hi. Hi, MJ.
Hello.
And your name, are you willing to tell us who you are?
Yeah, this is Ann Collins.
Hi, Ann.
Hi, Ann. How are you?
Good.
We're glad you're on the air with us.
Yes, thanks for joining us.
Sorry for being noisy.
I see you here and there, like on Twitter and on Facebook and stuff like that. So it's great to hear your voice.
Well, thanks. Great to hear you guys. I'm going to go get in my car, so I'm going to mute myself so that I can hear you.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
That's fun. That's nice to have that option, too. You know, it's nice that folks can listen via telephone instead of the computer if they have to move away from the machine.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah,
that is
nice. Great.
So, MJ, the next step for you is?
The next step will be for, I've got a couple of e-books that are coming out that are just quick little things, and then I'm writing a book right now as well.
Oh, good.
Nice.
Are you free to share titles yet, or is that a big secret so far?
Well, the title was Loving the Person in the Mirror, but I decided that that's too hard for a lot of people if you're coming from a point, you know, of hating yourself or, you know, even disliking yourself. So I think I've decided on Spiraling Upward.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
because you don't, typically you don't crash to the bottom overnight. And
mm-hmm.
just the same way, you're not going to, you know, go from hating yourself to loving yourself overnight. It takes spiraling.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. That's a good title, too, because it's active.
Yeah,
right.
And I think it's spiraling,
that.
Spiraling like in the inside of a seashell, you know, that beautiful vision of being one with all the rhythms of the universe. It's so cool.
Yeah, that's good, Kate. The spiral inside the seashell, I like that. That would make a pretty cover.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Ever see the chambered nautilus, which has the most beautifully vivid spiral of any shell that I've ever seen? I think that anybody would have ever seen. It's you can Google the chambered nautilus and see how it spirals, and you might want to consider that as part of, you know, an ebook cover kind of thing.
Yeah, right.
Or maybe you'll publish it and put it on the cover of the book.
Right.
I do plan on publishing it, so.
We can pick
mm-hmm.
it up in Books a Million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, we know her. That would be exciting. That would be fun. They finished up you, but are you part of the Milagro Forum? No?
I am. I don't go on there as much as I should.
Yeah, me too.
I have been off myself lately, unfortunately. I have to get back.
Yeah, you do, so that we all know what's going on. Because you're always the person to be in touch with. But because that's such a super forum. I've never seen Pat. Every time Pat touches something, you end up making friends. You get involved with Pat's activities. It's just real interesting how he does that. He draws people to him, and always there are people that enjoy each other's company, which just fascinates me. But that's a super forum.
It's his gift, yes.
It is his gift. It really is. And I wonder sometimes if he's aware of that. If he and Joe
I think he is.
It. Yeah.
I think he is, because people tell him that all the time.
But it doesn't have to do with anything he does. It has more to do with who he is. Don't you think? I mean, he doesn't get out there and say, oh, you need to make friends with so-and-so. He doesn't do that at all. You know, he doesn't. It just happens as a result of something that he pulls together.
He's a quiet, they say he has a tremendous quiet presence.
Oh, really? I would love to. He's on my list of people I want to meet one day.
Yes.
I would love to meet him one day, because I think that too, and he's so laid back, you know. I think that would be neat. Yeah.
We have to go to the Unseminar, Joan.
Yes. Well, that is on my list. I want to do that one day. I really would like to do that.
We will do it.
So, NJ, you'll have to meet us at Unseam one time.
That's right. Yeah, this one will be my third one when I go to Unseminar 7.
Oh, okay. So you are going and have been. I did not realize that. Fabulous. Fabulous. Yeah. That would be great. So, you know, you've met KK.
I've met KK. She was at 6, and I've met several other people. Maggie's actually doing a road to Unseminar 7, so, and it's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And she talks to all the speakers, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
She's doing I don't know what you said. Maggie.
A Road to Unseminar. It's a teleseries that she's doing.
Oh, how neat. That is neat.
Yeah, she's going to interview me, I think, September 7th.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's exciting to have, to turn the tables and be interviewed, huh?
Right. Yeah, because this will be my third seminar that I've been to, and I guess this will be I'll be interviewed again, so that'll be cool.
Well, tell me this, just out of curiosity then. I've never actually talked to anybody in person who has been there. So you go to Unseminar, and then as soon as you leave, does your head just spin? I mean, I would think you would get away from there and you're just writing as fast as you can go with ideas. Is that kind of how you did?
No, because my brain was too wound up. There wasn't even anything I could write. I mean,
just full of it.
I wrote all through the 3 days, and then and even driving home and having a lot of time to think, because it takes me about 5 hours to drive home. The next day, my brain's just full.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's just no place to, it's hard to start because there's just too much. But it's cool.
Yeah.
Very, very wonderful experience.
Yeah, I would think that would be, when I am able to attend a seminar, that's the one I want to go to.
Me too.
Yeah.
I actually went to a internet marketing seminar one time that was pretty cool, but nothing like this, nothing at all like this. And I was going to go to this one actually if I could, but I believe it's smack in the middle of October. Am I correct about that? Is that the date?
October 16th, 17th, and 18th, I believe.
So
the week that weekend, or
my problem is that we do a lot of customer service, and I'm part of that team, as if you want to call it that, we do performances for the whole hospital, and so it's right smack in the middle of that whole time, and I can't do it. That's all, and so that's just life. It wasn't meant to be, and next time perhaps.
Well, you can't go until I can join you. See, so that's
why. You know what? That is why.
Yep. It's going to all work when it's supposed to.
Yeah, just like what we were saying. It's so true. It's everything has its own time, and there's no beginning and there's no end. So that's where it's at.
I love that KK was so determined last time. I mean, she felt that. She was determined to be there last time and made it happen, and actually made it happen.
A beautiful story.
Yeah. Yes.
The Ironed Out Diva.
Uh-huh. Love that.
I love it, too.
Because she had a long way, too. She's Mississippi to Texas. I mean, that's a long haul.
Yeah. And then other people from the forum had gone, too, so you had met them all. I guess that was pretty phenomenal.
Well, it's a pretty big group, and you kind of hang out. It seems like you're drawn to the right people, and so you hang out with the people that fit your life or whatever. Lack of a better word, but you're drawn to the right people.
Mm-hmm.
So there, how many people there? Like 50?
I think 75. I'm not certain.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not good at guessing, but it was a rather big, it was a big room, big conference room. And it was pretty full, so, and we had a dozen speakers or so.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah, it has just always fascinated me.
I think it's so interesting because of the way it blends, because Pat O'Brien blends the metaphysical with marketing and music and talent and, the law of attraction and all of that into one beautiful experience.
I can easily visualize me in one of those. I think that will happen one day. We got to do that, Kate. That's on the list.
Okay, that goes on the list right now.
Yes, on the list. We will go eventually.
Definitely,
oh my gosh,
wonderful experience.
That'd be hysterical.
Have you attended other seminars, MJ?
Not internet seminars. I've attended, unfortunately, MLM seminars, and they that's almost all they talk about.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't
know because those are usually so big. I mean, any seminars I've been to, you had 200 or 300 people. You know, it's too big to even, you know, to be in a small group like that would be such a treasure. And then to take your laptop and actually sit there and work and understand.
You don't really have, there's really not enough room or time to really work on a laptop.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You can bring your laptop with you, but really you can't work on it until breaks or so because there's just a lot of information jammed into the time.
Well, do you take home recordings of all of that?
You take notes.
Okay.
And
he makes recordings eventually. We do have somebody else on the line here. Just a minute here. Hello.
Hello. This is Maggie.
Hi, Maggie.
Hi. How are you?
I had to call in because you're talking about my favorite event in the world, on seminar, and you're talking with one of my favorite friends in the world, MJ. And I just wanted to add my 2 cents and say that MJ and I actually spent time together for the first time at on Seminar 6.
Mm-hmm.
And she's actually been a big part of why we're starting the teleseries, The Road to One Seminar, for people who've never attended.
Mm-hmm.
Because after a conversation we had in her Love Rockstar Marathon, which she interviewed me, we became accountability partners. And we talk every day, and we tell each other our goals for the day, and we accomplish them because we have somebody to answer to. And one of the things that came out of this was MJ and I talking, and the suggestion was that we do something to preview this for Pat O'Brien, whom is just an amazing person to help promote it. And for people who kept asking both of us, is it really worth going to be able
mm-hmm.
to give them the tools to make an educated decision. So with you two saying that, you know, you'd like to attend someday, I'd like to invite you to listen to this 8-week series that I'm doing twice a week. We're having, at this point, I think 5 speakers and 5 participants, including MJ, KK, Eric Farewell, Wendy Friesen, Pat O'Brien, starting August 19th, and it's going to be twice a week for an hour so people can preview on Seminar 7 and see what life changes have come as a result from people who participated in on Seminar 6.
Wow.
Well, that's a great idea.
Are you doing this on Blog Talk Radio?
No, I'll be doing this on a private teleconference line. If you go to, I'll give you the web address, if you go to gravityresistance.com/... /blog/unseminar, you'll see the web page that has the bios of the first 4 guests that are going to be on starting August 19th with Pat O'Brien. And there's an opt-in box. Sign up for the opt-in box. You'll get reminders with login information in your email, and you'll also be eligible for free download gifts and prizes that some of the speakers in attendance are going to be offering.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay, great. Will do.
Now let me get that right. www.gravityresistance.com/blog/unseminar.
That's correct.
Thank you.
And I'd just like to publicly thank MJ because she's really held my hand through creating this, and I'm very grateful, and I wish her all the success with her website and her product because it rocks.
Rockstar rocks or whatever, yeah. Yeah,
absolutely. And she's going to be my roommate at on Seminar 7, too, so we're good.
Nice. Good.
But thank you for having
good.
Me. You have a great night.
Thank you so much, Maggie. You are. It was a blessing to have you on. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you,
thanks,
Maggie.
MJ.
That's super.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Yeah, that sounds like a great... That's what you were referring to earlier, MJ, that particular... teleseminar where you will be interviewed.
That's right. And Ann Collins, who you just talked to a few minutes ago, she's going to be on that seminar, and she's also one of the people that I interviewed earlier.
Uh-huh.
So. Oh, that's great. See, that's some more of that same thing.
Yeah.
I just activated my subscription, y'all. That same unity, that same connectedness that happens She's real interesting.
No, I totally agree. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And it just keeps on evolving. Like
yeah.
This was in the last few minutes here.
Well, you and Kate and I met at Portable Empire University almost 3 years ago.
Yes.
Those relationships are very stable. I dare
yeah.
say that. Laura, there. There's just so many people in my life that I met in those few months that I'm still in touch with, which is dear. So it'll be fun to watch you all and listen.
Yes, I want to catch that. And then Moonvine and I met on Second Life, where Pat O'Brien had his Portable Empire Island. And that was just an experience that you just, at the time, didn't realize exactly. But that's where I saw, that's where I really remembered you, Moonvine. In fact, everybody would say to me, oh, you've got to meet Moonvine. Have you met Moonvine? Oh, the two of you will love each other, they said. So, and then one night, there you were, and you had the little avatar. I never quite got used to that, but it was exciting, and it was the Haight-Ashbury of Second Life.
It really was. Well, see, what you don't realize is that you were the first person that was nice to me on PEU, on the forum.
Oh.
That's right.
Oh, what happened?
I don't even know. I just know that you were, when I'd go on the forum, in my mind, you were a friendly face. And then I met you on Second Life.
Yes.
So you were being nice and didn't even realize it.
Well.
You were befriending me. Probably answering a whole list of really stupid questions because I had no clue what I was doing. But
and look at you now. Wow.
Well, still don't know what I'm doing, but I'm just doing it on a grander scale.
Well, my friends, it's almost the end of the show, and I think that I should sign off just a minute earlier because of having to go to our city council meeting, if nobody minds.
That's
and, I love you both, and I want to also play the Klaus Jensen music, www.musicforwomenandchildren, isn't that right?
Mother and Child, yeah.
Yes. So, MJ, thank you very, very much, and we appreciate
you,
your coming on the show. Thank you.
Thank you.
I hope to talk with you soon.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
I'm excited.
Cool. Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm.